Welcome to Season 4, Episode 1 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is about introducing Jesus. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about our topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. The Gospel of John was written to teach people about Jesus. The first chapter introduces Jesus to us. We learn about him through the various words and phrases that are used to describe him in that chapter. So the opening chapter of John is a good place to go to learn, to be reminded, or to teach others about Jesus. So in this episode, we're going to briefly consider 8 ways in which Jesus is described there in John chapter 1. Number 1, Jesus is the Word. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." There are several points that are implied by the word word. First, the word is an announcement, revealing what otherwise would not have been known. Hebrews 1:2 says that Jesus is the spokesman for the Father during these last days. Jesus himself said in John 12 and verse 50, "Therefore the things I speak just as the Father has told me." Second, the word includes doctrine, teaching that we must obey. All authority was given to Jesus, and therefore his disciples were to observe his commandments. He explained that in Matthew 28:18-20. Third, the word indicates a direction, a way that we should go. Jesus told his disciples, "I am the way. No one comes to the Father but through me," John 14:6. Jesus is not whoever we want him to be. As the Word, he is a divine being with objective standards and expectations of us. We must conform our lives to his will, rather than try to conform him to our will. Number 2, Jesus is eternal. John 1:1-2 tell us that in the beginning was the Word, and that he was in the beginning with God. Though Jesus was born of a woman at a particular time, when the fullness of time came, Galatians 4:4, the Spirit of Christ existed long before that. John the Baptist was born before Jesus, Luke 1:35-36 says. Yet he said of Christ in John 1:30, "After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me." Jesus said elsewhere in John 8:58, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Jesus was in the beginning with God, John 1:2. His existence is eternal. As Hebrews 7:3 says, "Having neither beginning of days nor end of life." He was not a created being. He existed in the beginning, the so-called time before creation. Number 3. Jesus is God. John 1:1 says, "The Word was God." Jesus was not just a good man, a wise teacher, or even just a prophet. Jesus was God in the flesh. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Isaiah prophesied, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace," Isaiah 9:6. Jesus was with God and was God, John 1:1. He was and is one of the three persons of the Godhead that we read about in the Scriptures, the Father, Titus 1:4, the Son, Titus 2:13, and the Holy Spirit, Acts 5:3-4. Furthermore, Jesus was equal with the Father. That's made clear in John 5:18 and John 10:30. And while on earth, he rightfully accepted worship. A couple of examples of that are in Matthew 28:9, also verse 17 of that chapter, and Luke 24:52. Worship, we are told, is to be directed only to God, Revelation 22:8-9, when John went to fall down and worship the angel. The angel told him not to do that. He was to worship God. Jesus accepted worship because even while on earth, he was not just a man, but God. Number 4, Jesus is the giver of life. John 1, 3, and 4 says, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life. John first described Jesus as being the giver of physical life, that he was instrumental in creation. All things came into being through him. Paul told the brethren in Colossae that Jesus is both the creator and the sustainer of life. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says, for by him all things were created. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. However, Jesus is not just the giver of physical life, but also of spiritual life. He provides the hope of eternal life to those who are born again, as he taught Nicodemus in John 3, 3 through 5. Paul told the saints in Rome, in Romans 6, 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through Jesus, we have hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have life physically and also the hope of life spiritually and eternally through Jesus. Number 5, Jesus is the light. John 1, 4 and 5 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Elsewhere, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8, 12. The idea of Jesus being the light is connected to him being the Word. The psalmist wrote, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105. As the light, Jesus provides the world with revelation, with knowledge, and direction. We noted these in the first section about Jesus as the Word. He announced what was being revealed. He delivered his doctrine, which we are to know, and he directed us in the path that we should go. Jesus is the light, showing us the way that we need to take. Number 6, Jesus became flesh. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus becoming flesh was part of God's plan from the beginning. After sin was introduced into the world, God cursed the serpent and revealed a prophecy about the coming of Christ. In Genesis 3:15, it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Jesus partook of flesh and blood. Hebrews 2:14 says, so that he could deliver this crushing blow to Satan. And since it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins, God prepared a body for Jesus so that he could make a suitable atonement sacrifice, as Hebrews 10:4 and 5 explains. However, it is important to note that Jesus became flesh without surrendering his deity. When the inspired apostle said that Jesus was God in John 1:1, he did not mean that Jesus used to be God, but was no longer God. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Paul wrote in Colossians 2:9, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. When Jesus became flesh, he did not cease to be who he was, God. Instead, his divine spirit inhabited a flesh and blood body. Number 7, Jesus explained the Father. John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. In Jesus, the Son of God, we see the Father. Jesus made this clear in a conversation that he had with Philip. In John 14:8-9, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? One can know the Father by examining the works and words of Christ. This reminds us of Jesus' role in Revelation. His works and his words show us the Father. John 5:19 says, Jesus, therefore, answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." Also in John 8:28 it says, "So Jesus said, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me.'" All of this shows us the unity between the Father and the Son. John 10:30 says that Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." We cannot accept one and not the other. Jesus said, "The one who listens to you listens to me," talking to the apostles. "And the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." And when Jesus came, as John explained in that first chapter of his gospel, when Jesus came, he explained the Father. Finally, number 8, Jesus is the Lamb of God. John 1:29 says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" This was Jesus' mission, to make forgiveness of sins available to all men. He was called a lamb because he would be sacrificed just as was done with the lambs under the Old Testament system. And we can read about that in various passages. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed," likening Jesus to the lamb that was offered, as is talked about in Exodus 12, 3-7. Jesus said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." And then John adds that he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die, John 12:32 and 33. He came in order to give his life a ransom for many, Matthew 20:28. And forgiveness is available through his blood, which he shed on the cross, Ephesians 1:7. Jesus' death on the cross was not for his own sins, because he had none. 1 Peter 2:22 says he committed no sin. So instead of dying for his sins, he made atonement for our sins, and that's discussed in Romans 5:8 through 11. However, if we want to be saved from our sins, we need to take advantage of his sacrifice, and that means obeying him. Hebrews 5:9 says he is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. And this includes baptism, in which our sins are washed away. Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." We must do that, and then we must remain faithful until death, as Revelation 2:10 says. So in conclusion, the first chapter of John is a great place to go to be reminded about Jesus, who he is, and what he came to do. It is also a good place to go to teach people who are not familiar with Jesus. So let us remember the lessons contained in this chapter, so that we might faithfully follow the Lord and also try to bring others to him as well. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about how Jesus became like us. Until then, I hope you have a great week.